This is Totally Cool Tech, the show that brings you the hottest in cool technology. No matter if it's old school or new school, high tech or low tech, it's all still cool tech. This is the Totally Cool Tech Podcast, edition number 512, half a meg for Sunday, January 30th, 2011. I am Norbert Davis, your host. That's right, I'm calling it half a meg because, well, we're at 512, and I couldn't think of anything better. I thought maybe half a K or something like that, or I was going to go with a hex or a decimal version of it, but, you know, I know you're geeks and you get this, but, I don't know, half a meg, that's about as best that I can get. That sounds halfway decent, so, anyhow. All right, we're going to go ahead and just jump on into this. This week was kind of an interesting week for some information here. And one of the things I found here, I found on ZDNet, and it's about the Verizon iPhone 4 hotspot pricing, because this is going to be very important to me. My wife currently has a Palm Pre Plus, which has the Wi-Fi hotspot built into it, and we're with Verizon. My Droid X has a Wi-Fi hotspot in it, but when we were on vacation, had our iPad, it's a Wi-Fi only, and we went through and we used the Wi-Fi hotspot on our Palm Pre Plus to get the iPad online and search for anything. Let the kids play with it, and while we were in the car traveling for long distances, or, you know, just look things up, things like that. It was really, really cool. Well, this Wi-Fi hotspot thing is going to be much better in the iPhone 4 for Verizon than it's going to be in the Apple version because, well, Apple won't let you do it. Well, here's what's going to happen. You're going to come, you know, all your expectations are probably going to come crashing down because, look, there's pricing for this. That's right, they're going to add some more money to you. Well, apparently, what's going to happen is there's going to be a $20 per month charge on top of the voice and data plan, which gives you a separate 2 gigabyte hotspot data allowance. So, in your normal plan, you get 2 gigabytes of hotspot data. All right, that's it. You go over that 2 gigabytes, and you'll be charged $20 per gigabyte, unless you get the $20 a month for, you know, on that. So, how much are they going to allow you? I don't know. And you know, it's hopefully it's more than 2 gigabytes, because that would drop it down to 10 gigabytes, you know, or $10 per gigabyte. But I'm telling you, that's a bummer. Because I don't pay for it on my Wi-Fi hotspot that's on the Palm Pre Plus. And I'm not paying for it on my Droid X. Why should I pay for it on the iPhone 4? It's not fair. I don't like it. I hope they don't do it for existing customers. Because I plan on going down here right as soon or right after the iPhone 4 goes on sale at Verizon. And use that to go ahead and, you know, I'm going to trade in my wife's Palm Pre Plus and be able to use the same thing. I shouldn't have to pay extra for something I'm already not paying for, you know. It's I don't see the big deal there. Going to have to find out from the wife if she minds not getting the iPhone 4, if that's that big a deal, or if not having the Wi-Fi hotspot is that big a deal. And I'm thinking it's going to be, because it proved to be very cool previously. So, just as a warning for you all you iPhone 4 owners at AT&T looking to jump ship, it may not be greener pastures. All right. Well, sticking with the iPhone 4, well, iPhone 4 and Google Voice. Supposedly, these aren't going to mix too well. I do have a Google Voice number for the show. It's area code 540-999-TECH. And a buddy of mine at work, we were offered to be able to either get a smartphone at work or go ahead and use the regular phone that we had. Now, some of the options that we were allowed, because we were in a select group that were allowed to have a smartphone, was either the BlackBerry Bold or an iPhone, because our company has both AT&T and Verizon as their carriers. So, I had kind of asked for the iPhone 4. Why not? You know, I already had a BlackBerry, personal BlackBerry. I had the Storm prior to getting the Droid X. This was back in October, November, I think it was, that they went ahead and changed that. Anyway, They went ahead and gave us those options. I asked for the iPhone, and it didn't come through. But they had asked if certain few of us, two or three of us, if we would mind going ahead and allowing the company to go ahead and purchase our iPhone or our BlackBerry that we already had, take over that number, and use that. So they didn't have to buy a new phone, all that kind of stuff. And I didn't like that idea because, well, then everybody would have my number. And we thought, well, hey, well, we can protect our number, private number, by linking it with Google Voice. And the boss didn't like that. Well, apparently, Google and iPhone don't really work too well with that, because if you go ahead and say you port your number over, Google Voice is not supported by the iPhone, because it won't go to the normal or the natural or the built-in dialer for that. So that's the big problem, because everything has to be made through the Google Voice app, and it's not tied directly to the internal dialer on there. So not really sure what's going to go on with that, how they're going to deal with it, but it's kind of going to be an issue. And that seems to be on both the AT&T and the Verizon version. So you may not want to port your number over, because if you do, it won't really work, because if it can't use a natural dialer, it has to go out through the app. And if it does, somebody calls you back, they're going to call your regular number back instead somehow. I got a link over to ZDNet. It's called the Apple Core. Jason O'Grady and David Morgenstern are the blog authors of this, and they kind of go over why this will not work. And I'm kind of bummed to hear that. I thought it would have been cool. My buddy has already kind of done it. He didn't transfer over his phone number, didn't port it over, but he's using Google Voice, so, and it's kind of working for him. And I would have done that, except for I was hoping to maybe get an iPhone myself, but got the Droid X instead. So I don't want anybody at work calling me, and I know I can, you know, go on to Google Voice and block certain people and all that. It's just getting the, I guess I could tell my boss to go ahead and, you know, give this a shot, and we can get rid of one BlackBerry. That's one less thing I gotta carry. However, one of the things I use my BlackBerry at work for, and since I work in construction, I take a lot of photos, you know, go out to the site, and, you know, email from the site, meetings and all that. But when I'm taking photos, I'm in a construction zone. If I drop that, you know, phone, it hits the ground and shatters, which hopefully it never will. I really am careful about that. I don't have to pay for it. I don't have to carry any insurance on it. If it is broke and it has to go in, I can go ahead and set that phone number up to ring my personal number, or something else, you know, temporarily, until I get a replacement phone. I don't want to have to replace my Droid, and I don't want them owning my Droid. So I think I'm going to be carrying two phones. And that way, when I go on vacation, I can just turn off my phone, leave it at home, and they can't get a hold of me. I love that. All right, enough of that. But we're going to kind of stick with Verizon. It looks like over at CE Pro, they're talking about how Verizon will win the home automation wars. Well, they question if Verizon will win the home automation wars. Last week, we kind of talked about how AT&T acquired Zanbu, which is the developer of their home automation platform that they were tied with. Well, now Verizon, and I kind of mentioned a little bit, is tied in with Motorola's For Home platform. Now, where they haven't bought into or bought out the For Home platform, Motorola is in on that. They own that. That's all part of their thing. And, well, Verizon is really going to kind of kick this in. They're getting into the home automation business, challenging Comcast, which is Xfinity, AT&T, and ADT, and other mass market providers in the coming year here. But will they make it? During CES this month, there was a close look at Verizon's product done by CE Pro here. And they allowed, the Verizon product allows users to remotely access and control their lighting thermostats, surveillance cameras, and a small array of Z-Wave wireless devices, such as like motorized locks, which is, we've talked about this before, that's something I want. Well, Verizon is the first major provider to employ the For Home platform. The telco's offering is not unlike the ones that are planned by the competitors in the security, cable, and broadband industries, of which hope to exploit their substantial customer base by tracking home control services into their monthly bills. The phone company wants to be your biller. They want to bill you for everything. Why? Because they make lots and lots of money that way. All right. Now, Verizon has a pretty slick and fairly limited home control offering right now. It's powered by Motorola's For Home platform. The service is hosted in a cloud at Verizon's own server, so they know everything. During CES, the company showed the technology delivered to the home via an ActionTech gateway, the SG100. The small plug-in module connects to the home network via Ethernet and communicates with smart devices via onboard Z-Wave, which is a low-rate power system, and Wi-Fi, a high-rate wireless technology. Now, at launch, Verizon's system will integrate with a handful of Z-Wave devices, including Schlage's door locks, which we've talked about that. I love Schlage. There will also be the Train-branded thermostats made by RCS Technologies, and a couple of lighting and appliance modules. Now, in theory, all Z-Wave devices should interoperate, but in reality, it's not always the case, and we know that with pretty much everything. As for Wi-Fi onboard, the ActionTech gateway is expressly for communicating with Verizon-branded wireless cameras OEM'd by Sercomm, which also makes the cameras for many of For Home's potential competitors, including iControl, UControl, Zanboo, and Schlage. So, this will be interesting to see. I wonder if there's going to be any way you can like mix and match stuff from different companies, since the controllers are pretty much all going to be the same. It will be very intense to see this fight this year and see who comes out on top. Now, I guess at CES, the telecom broadband provider showed an app running on an Android phone as well as an over-the-top television interface for Verizon Fios TV. That's pretty cool. I'm really stoked about this. I'd love to see how this all works. I mean, it's just coming out. And it looks like the Verizon software will let users program their own scenes and schedules, like an away mode, a mode that locks doors, sets back the thermostat, and turns off certain lights. So this would be pretty cool when you go in on a vacation. You can have the lights act like your home. You can program things to operate, keep the thermostat set at a certain rate. And if you're out, if you're gone, and all of a sudden, you check the weather or something like that, and it's going to get really hot or really cold, you can adjust your thermostat accordingly. Because, you might have a dog there. You might have people house sitting or checking in every now and then, but maybe too late. You never, don't want your pipes to freeze, and you don't want any, animals to get too hot. So this ought to be really cool to see what happens in the upcoming year here. All right. Let's see. What else have we got? Oh, yeah. Found this. I thought maybe you'd like this. If you've ever had to deal with plugs and electrical plugs, and you know how if you take a charger or something like that, there's some bulk to it and all that. And the plugs that we have here in the United States, they're not too bad, though. They can be kind of a bugger at times, so to speak. But in Britain, these things are huge. They are freaking huge. Well, there was a designer in the UK last year, actually, I found out about this. I found out about this year, but last year. They went through and had a contest on how to kind of come up with a way to make things less bulky. And this one gentleman came up with, he calls it Made in Mind, and it's the folding plug. In the UK, a folding plug transforms from a bulky 3-pin plug into a portable, hassle-free plug ideal for people on the go. When not in use, the UK folding plug transforms into a 10 millimeter thick flat plastic object, or flat object, really. Now, they're supposed to be launching this thing in 2010. I haven't seen it. I've written them because this plug is awesome. This is a very, very smart design. Really outside the box thinking. What they did is they took, and if you've ever seen the British plug, it's two horizontal pins and one vertical pin, the vertical pin being up above the two horizontals. And what this gentleman did was he rotated, or he made his plug so where the horizontal pins can rotate in line with the upper pin or the third pin, and it allows them to go ahead and vertically be aligned so that it takes up a lot less space. Now, what he did is he made a connector that would actually plug into the wall with the three regular pins. I mean, these things are, the plug is, oh my gosh, probably about 3 inches square, really, a normal plug. And he takes one and he folds it, and it slides into the adapter, which will hold three of these vertical plugs in the same space that one regular plug would have taken up. This is totally awesome. You're going to have to actually take a look at the website, take a look at the picture of it. It's really cool. There's a little YouTube-powered video you can watch about this. It's really cool. I'm hoping to hear back and see when they're going to actually have this thing out. You know, and this is for the UK only. I asked them if there's going to be anything for, you know, different countries or different, you know plug styles, because they kind of mentioned that, but I haven't seen anything yet. And I know that they're probably still in this testing to meet safety regulations and things like that over in Britain. But if they can ever get this into production, I'm telling you, this is a game changer for them over there. And I bet they can probably come up with something similar here in the United States. I think this will really be awesome. So I'll be taking a look for that. It's called the folding plug. It's really cool. Check that one out. All right. Now, if you are a Gizmodo fan, and who isn't, they have an article about a transparent iPhone 4. And I started reading this. It's really cool. You can actually turn your iPhone 4, can actually mod the case or the actual iPhone itself to be transparent. Now, what apparently somebody did was they took the glass panels, the front and back glass panels off the iPhone, and applied some sort of paint thinner or remover, whatever, to take the paint off the inside. And what you're left with is two clear panes that reveal the innards of the phone, and that's actually pretty cool. Now, I'm not going to tell you to go ahead and do this, and I'm not going to do it myself, because I know if I did it, I would surely screw something up. However, if you're the adventurous type and doesn't mind modding or something like this, take a look at the versions that they have here, the photos that they have here. This is really, really slick. I think it's a really cool idea that you could do with your iPhone 4 if you want to do that. All right. Now, over at Geeky Gadgets, looks like they had a drug smuggling catapult captured in Arizona. Actually, it's in Mexico. The drug lords there, the smugglers, have gotten wise. You know, they're not going to be using the techniques of using a human mule to carry the drugs across. They're not digging any more tunnels. They're going old school, and I mean really old school. They're going medieval. They are launching, like, was it 4.4 pound bales of marijuana with a catapult. This is really cool. It was towed behind a flatbed truck, and I guess the United States authorities, the U.S. National Guard and Border Patrol, had noticed this and notified the authorities in Mexico about this, and by the time the authorities got there, of course, everybody was gone. But they did capture the catapult and a couple bales of marijuana. Really cool. I think this is a really cool idea that they're doing this. You know, we're getting back to really old school thinking. But what happens if these guys discover Punkin' Chunkin'? I mean, if they ever watch like the Discovery Channel or something like that, we're screwed. Because those guys in Delaware are pushing 2 miles, a little over a mile at least, with some of their contraptions. If these, you know, if the Mexicans, the drug lords start using compressed air and cannons, they could be launching those suckers, you know, well into the United States, and we'd never know. We'd never know it happened. It would be the most interesting thing to see that happen. So, anyway. All right, next up we have Batman's wallet. That's right. It's, well, it's not really Batman's wallet, but if he had a wallet and he carried it with him, this is what it would look like. And it's a biometric wallet because, you know, Batman doesn't want anybody to get into his stuff. And this thing is, you know, not only is it dark, but it's carbon fiber. This is really, really slick. It's called the biometric wallet. You can get this over at Dunhill in London. It's only going for a mere $825. Now, it's virtually indestructible, at least that's what they say. And the biometric wallet will only open with a touch of your fingerprint. It can be linked via Bluetooth to the owner's mobile phone, which will sound an alarm if the two are separated by more than 5 meters. So about, 15 feet or so. Yeah, 15, 20 feet. And this provides a brilliant warning if, you know, if either the phone or the wallet are stolen or misplaced. So that's pretty cool. You know, you don't leave your wallet and you don't leave your phone. Unless you leave them both at the same time and then nothing happens, you don't hear about it and you just lose it. The exterior of the wallet is constructed from highly durable carbon fiber that will resist all but the most concerted efforts to open it, says the website here. And while the holder is strong and stainless, a nice strong and stainless steel money clip inside, it does feature luxurious leather credit card holder inside. That is pretty awesome. And you can get it monogrammed as well. I think that's a little extra, but you know, if you want to buy this, you have to contact a personal shopper. You can't just go ahead and buy this online, which is, you know, I don't know if that's a little hoity-toity or not, but, you know, you could be buying this. Would you really be buying it, or would be it being bought for you by someone else? I mean, for $825, if I was buying an $825 wallet, I'd be having someone else do it for me, a personal assistant or something like that. Just saying. All right. Talking about a little bit about design, and actually, no, I'm going to shove this in. I wasn't planning on doing this, but this kind of brought it up because this thing uses the Bluetooth. I saw this little blip on my radar in my email the other day, and I picked it up this morning. It's about this new gadget, and it kind of is similar to what we just talked about here. It's called a Cobra phone tag, and if you're familiar with Cobra Electronics, you know, they're the builders of a lot of CB radios and lots of other good electronic stuff here. And they had a booth at CES this year with a simple but imaginative little tech idea. It's the phone tag. Now, this little keychain works as a two-way alarm between itself and your smartphone. It establishes a Bluetooth link with any iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android device. Each platform will have its own downloadable app, and then when your keys get out of range of your phone, you get an alert on either device, and you can even make both devices chirp, like a homing beacon to help you hunt them down. So your phone can help you find your lost keys, or your keys can help you find your phone. It's pretty darn clever. They haven't got the pricing out yet, but it's supposed to be available in spring, between like spring and summer, I'm betting. And it's pretty darn cool. It's it looks almost like a, I'd say almost like a bottle opener. It looks like a key fob with a built-in key ring, and pretty smart looking. I think it looks really nice. It does have, I saw a picture and I can't see it here, of the bottom of it, and they don't show it in this particular version of it, which I wish they did, because it was a really nice looking thing. It looks at the bottom to have a almost like a USB plug. I'm wondering if it needs to have some sort of charging or something like that. I don't know. They don't say, and I haven't found out, but I kind of suspect that it does need some sort of charging every now and then. So we'll see about that. And I just wanted to tie that in. I'll have a link for it on the show notes here now that I've gotten into that. All right, next up we have the International Forum Design Showcase. This is via Yanko. If you're familiar with Yanko Design, they have a lot of good, well, let's see, design prototypes for products that are, some of them are really, really cool, out of the box, new way to think of things. Well, there's this International Design Forum going on. I thought, well, hey, this ought to be really cool, right? Checking it out. Typically it is, and there were quite a few things in the Yanko coverage of this this International Forum Design. One of the items, well, a couple of the items I thought were pretty unique, and I'll probably cover them later, but I wanted to cover the stuff that was not unique, except for the fact that they changed the way the aesthetics are, not really the function. One of the things were a pacifier. It's a thermometer, and it has the ability to glow either red or blue, you know, and, you know, blue being cool and red being hot. Well, I can go down, and I don't know what the cost would be on that, but it doesn't give you a exact temperature measurement. You know, it's like, okay, the baby's hot. Well, how hot are they? For like $8, I can go down to Target or somewhere, you know, Sears, Amazon, Toys R Us, Babies R Us, whatever, probably, you know, Walmart, I'm sure, and get a safety first device, which will tell me in a large display, which is pretty easy to read, the actual temperature of the child, and do it within like 90 seconds. So it's like, okay, great, you did this great aesthetic thing, beautiful, but not original, doesn't change anything, and it's less information from that than I get from this other device. So yeah, that to me is dead. I don't even know why it's really even in this competition. The next thing I saw was a combination of contact lens and glasses case, eyeglass case, and it says one-way lens case. Well, I don't understand how it's one way. It doesn't really go too far into the device itself and things like that. And looking at it, it's not too innovative. The lens caps for the contacts are on the outside of the case, and I guess you open up the case and it flips open and gets your glasses and hopefully maybe even some eye lens, you know, or contact lens solution. But over at Amazon, I can get something similar that will have a solution for your lenses, hold a lens case, hold a pair of tweezers, apparently. Why, I'm not really sure. I don't use tweezers on my contacts. And there's a little mirror in it. And then there's a second compartment that holds your eyeglasses. And I can get that for $10. So again, going back to the Yanko Design, or not the Yanko Design, but the other coverage of it, the International Design Forum, nothing really big here. Yeah, it's probably actually less convenient, whatever. More of a hassle, I don't know, but, you know, fail there, in my opinion. The one thing that I went through that really impressed me, that I thought could be done right now, and probably is, would be Epson printer cartridges. They show these Epson printer cartridges. If you ever bought an Epson, they usually have a number with them, and the number and the color, depending on what that is, they just plug right into your printer, it's a print head, and you go ahead and you go. But you know, the packaging is ridiculous. The printer itself, the printer cartridge, you know, is in a plastic case, or, you know, plastic bag, and then you also have a box that it's in as well. So you have all these multiple packages for just this thing. Well, Epson, and I'm looking at this picture of these cartridges that it looked like they're already manufactured. Maybe they're prototyped. But if they're not, and if they're getting ready to go to market with this, and I hope they are, it's perfect. The case of the cartridge itself is also the packaging itself. You tear off a bottom piece that reveals the actual print head itself and the little computer chip connector. And the part that hangs on the shelf, on the little pin, you know, that peels off. The bottom piece peels off to, like I said, make access or give you access to the print head. And you just go ahead and you plug it in. Perfect. This is perfect. I love that. I love that about this. I think this is great. I'm sure you could send in the print cartridges, you know, to be recycled. I think it's going to be one of the better, greener ways to go. I think this was thinking outside the box by putting everything in the box and making the box, not only the packaging, but the product itself. I think it's a winner. So, pretty darn cool. Well, all right. That is, I think, going to be it for this podcast. And I want to thank you very much for listening to the Totally Cool Tech Podcast, no matter if it's content delivery box like, you know, the Roku, the Boxy, the Google TV, whatever you're using. Whether you're going to, hey, could you be listening to us on Stitcher Radio? Let me know if you're listening to me on Stitcher. I really want to know. I'm trying to check some things out with that. If you're checking me out on iTunes, Zune, or another podcatcher, or just checking it out on the website player, I really do appreciate you listening. And if you have any questions, comments, hate mail, whatever, just send it on over. TCTpodcast@gmail.com. Totally Cool Tech is a proud member of the TechPodcasts.com network and Blueberry.com podcast community. That's Blueberry, spelled B-L-U-B-R-R-Y, no E's. Go check out both of these sites for some other great podcasts. All right, you can, if you like the show, and I pretty much think you do, please go ahead and recommend us to a friend. All the show notes and links and contact info are on the website at totallycooltech.com. And if you know something pretty cool and you want me to talk about it, or even you want to talk about it, send me a little short clip. Just keep it clean. That's all I ask. And we'll go ahead and put you on the air here, or I'll talk about it if you want me to. Not a big deal there. And please send me an email or audio comment to tctpodcast@gmail.com. Do you like the show? You don't like the show? Too running too long? Running too short? More coverage? Less coverage? More talking? Less talking? I don't know. I'm going to try and put out some videos here pretty soon. I got one thing definitely set. I'm going to be checking out another one. It's a video camera that I bought. A web camera, I should say. Not a video camera. A web camera. That does infrared. And it will see in the dark. So I'm going to do some testing with that. And you guys will be able to check that out. All right. That is going to be it. If you want to go ahead and just leave me a quick audio message, just go on over to the Totally Cool Tech Podcast listener line. You can call me at 540-999-TECH. You can also check me out on Twitter. Just look for TCT Podcast or check us out on Facebook. All the links are there on the show notes. So check it out. We're on the website. Doesn't matter. All right, everybody. That's it. I will see you next time.